What prevents us from making a meaningful contribution to furthering the kingdom of God on earth? What prevents us from doing that? I believe often it's because we do not recognize, we don't recognize or accept our authority in Christ. If we do not realize the authority that we possess in Christ, we don't recognize that, and we do not even accept that fact, that truth, then you're not going to make an impact. You're not going to make a difference. We need to understand who we are. We need to understand the authority that Christ has given us as representatives of Him on the earth. That we are to pray, "Thy kingdom come, Thy will be done." Now, Jesus wouldn't have told us to do that unless it was important. God does not just automatically accomplish His will, folks. There are many who have this fatalistic mentality of just wait around for God to do what God's going to do. But God has given the assignment to His church on the earth. That's why we must. It's not an option, but we must pray in the kingdom. Jesus taught us that way. Jesus said, "I do nothing except what I see the Father do." What Jesus accomplished on the earth while He was here was as a direct result from His intimacy with the Father. His prayer life, His walk with His Father, is why He had the miracles. Why people were set free. That is why the kingdom was preached. Amen? Because He walked with His Father. Jesus came with purpose. And when He went away, He told His disciples, "As the Father has sent me, now I'm sending you. I've given you a purpose. You are to now do what I did. You are to demonstrate the kingdom. You are to bring that which is eternal and invisible into the temporal." Amen? And the visible. God wants to manifest His glory and His power on the earth. He wants to demonstrate that He is alive. That He is resurrected. Why is it that so many people, especially Christians, have been duped by the devil to believe that the devil somehow has a monopoly on supernatural things? Yeah. "Oh, I don't believe in that stuff." And yet people are flocking into the occult world because they know there's something real happening there. There's a real spirit world out there. And so wherever there is a counterfeit, there is the real. And God wants to make the truth known. That which is real. Because when the real comes, the counterfeit has to go. And where the devil thinks that he has a foothold and monopoly, when we come and we declare the kingdom is among you, guess what? God shows up. Because He gave you and I the assignment to take that message into the world. As you go, say, "The kingdom is among you. It's at hand." Sometimes we fear being proud as believers, you know, or presumptuous. So we shrink back into a place where it's very predictable and comfortable. But faith is beyond what we can do. The realm of faith where God is operating, amen, is beyond our capability. It's bigger than us. And so God knew that. He knew that we couldn't produce life. So He sent the Holy Spirit to manifest His life. Confirming His word with accompanying signs. We should believe and expect, as normal Christianity, signs and wonders, miracles, healings, salvation, deliverance of the captives. This is normal. It's the way it is in heaven. Therefore we pray, Lord, as in heaven, so let it be on the earth. Thy kingdom come, thy will be done. And it's not for the evangelist only or the pastor, it's for you. God has given you the church, the keys. And that primary key is called prayer. We must pray. We must ask. We receive not because we ask not. And when we ask sometimes with the wrong motivation. So that we can just consume it on our lust. God, gimme, 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 gimme. Instead of, Lord, what can I do for you? How can I make you known today? How can I make you famous, Lord? We pray for power. We pray for the gifts of the Spirit. For what reason? So we can look powerful? So we can make Jesus known, right? So we can reveal Christ. So they're going to say, whoa, what you have I want. I give you Jesus. You got to go to Jesus. Is there a witness of the Spirit in here right now? Is God just stirring up something within you right now? See, that's the gift of God in you that God wants to release through you. And there is that in each one of us here. That it's deep down there in some cases, but it's in there. If Christ is in you, that He says, I want you to release the grace, amen, of God through you. He comes in, amen, and He works out. In the New Age movement, in the occult world, they say you need to tap into the divine spark. You know what? I once was tapping into that divine spark, and the more I looked inside, the more I hated. I said, man, I am a mess. You need to discover your own impeccable Christ, they say. It's a lie. When the Holy Ghost came, He came first upon them. From the outside, amen, from heaven, He descended upon the church, and they are all filled with the Holy Spirit. So, it's not going to be found in you unless you have Christ in you. Otherwise, it's idolatry. It's self-worship. It's making yourself to be Christ, making yourself to be God. Some of you know what I'm talking about. Folks, there is no divine spark in one who has not been reconciled to God through Christ Jesus. There is a corrupted nature through the sin nature that we all receive from the fall of Adam. And there's only one name given under heaven among men whereby we must be saved. There is only one door, one way, one truth, and one life. Amen? And it's Jesus Christ through the blood of the covenant. It is not through any other God. It is only through the eternal God. Hallelujah. And Christ, the Word, became a man. Amen? Dwelt among us. They beheld God in the form of a man. Wow. And He lowered Himself to the place that you and I find ourselves at right now. Are you with me? He stripped Himself of His glory to come and become a man and to submit Himself as a servant and to allow the Father to be the one to lead and to guide His steps. He didn't do things on His own. He depended upon His Father to accomplish the work that He gave Him. You and I must depend upon Christ in order to accomplish the will of God for our lives. And the only way that we're going to do that is by communication. There's no such thing as a good relationship without communication. And without a good relationship, you don't really know the heart of that one, of the other. And so God gave us this privilege called prayer. God gave us this right. It's a right. And it was given freely through Jesus Christ. He suffered and He bled to restore us to that place where we once walked, where we could have relationship with Him. And now He wants to make Himself known. He wants to reveal Himself the same way He tried to do with Israel of old, through a people. And now there's no longer Jew nor Gentile, bond nor free, male nor female, but all are one in Christ Jesus. It's only in Christ that we can make Him known. It's only through an abiding union in Christ that we can make Him known. We can't do it by programs. We can only do it through relationship. We can only have what He has because we have been intimate with Him. We have been with Jesus. They took note of the disciples because they had been with Jesus. There was something different about these men. They stood out of the crowd. They weren't like everybody else. Come on. If we're with Jesus, guess what? You're not going to be like everybody else. So we need to pray and exercise the authority that God gave us to call that which is invisible and eternal into this visible realm and temporal realm. So we can say that heaven has invaded earth. When Jesus casted out demons, He says, no doubt the Spirit of God is among you, right? The finger of God, that meant the Spirit of God had showed up. The kingdom had come. Why? Because the King was there. And so now He has sent His Spirit upon the church. Glory to God. That means you and me. How many want to do what Jesus did? Sometimes, folks, we're so afraid that we're going to offend God. You know what? I would rather go with my gut and as God, I feel God is leading me and step out in faith and find out that, yes, that was the Lord after all, than to not do what God told me to do. Because if you make a mistake, how many know that God can forgive you? But I don't want to be guilty of the sin of not obeying the voice of God. Because I played it safe. Because I was fearful. God knows that we're kids. We're all children. And He knows that we make mistakes. But He's looking for a heart. David made mistakes, but he was a man after God's own heart. And that's what God was looking for. He was looking at David's heart. And He knew David had a heart to serve and to worship Him. He had a heart to know Him. He had a heart to make Him known. He was a true worshiper. Intimacy with God produces fruitfulness. It produces life. We cannot give away what we don't possess. And you will not possess unless you are a worshiper. And part of our worship is prayer. It's intercession. It's coming to our Father with our petitions, making our petitions known. Praying according to His will. What is the will of God? I'll tell you. It's right here, this book. Learn the book. Amen. And you'll learn the will of God. 2 Corinthians 5:17 says, if anyone is in Christ, he is a new creation. Old things have passed away. Behold, all things have become new. Romans 8:37 says, we, the church, are more than conquerors through Him, Christ, who loved us. I think in a lot of cases, folks, we've had a wrong concept of humility. All we've been hearing about is how weak and unworthy we are. I want you to hear me. If you think that you're just weak and unworthy all the time, guess what? You'll be weak and unworthy. In my old nature, in myself, apart from Christ, there's no good thing. I am weak and unworthy. In my old sin nature, that is. But if any man be in Christ, there's a new creation there that God says, you're worth it. You're worthy now. I've made you worthy. I've given you my righteousness.
Yes.
So you can come in confidence by the blood of Jesus to the throne of grace. Who are you going to operate under, the old or the new? Under the law or under grace? Grace accepting what God has already accomplished for us. It is finished, Jesus said. What He's accomplished for us at the cross. Hallelujah. He's given us forgiveness of sins and access back into the throne room of our daddy. Amen. In the old self, it's true. What is my new identity? Well, I am a citizen of heaven. My new identity is I am a child of God. I'm a new creation. How many know what the word redemption means? It means deliverance by payment of a price. Deliverance by payment of a price. I remember when I was a teenager and I was doing whatever I could to make a few bucks. I'd mow lawns or I'd go around collecting the cans. Remember the cans? I think they still do that, right? And I would do what? I would take these cans and I would redeem them for cash. How many know that Jesus redeemed you? By His blood, His precious blood. That's how valuable you are. That's how important you are to Him, that He was willing to lay down His life for us, to shed His blood for you. That's how worthy you are to Him, folks. And He knew that in our sin nature it could not please God because it was corrupted by sin. So Christ Himself made atonement for our sin. He's the one that went to the cross on our behalf, shed His blood so that we could receive forgiveness. He took our place on the cross. So we could go free. Free to love, free to serve. Free from sin and free from shame. Free from guilt. Free indeed. Prayer is our key. We have access by a word. Lord. Father. You don't have to climb a ladder to heaven. You don't have to descend into the pit. Amen. The word is nigh you even in your mouth. Call upon the name of the Lord. 1 Peter 1:18 says, knowing that you were not redeemed with corruptible things like silver or gold from your aimless conduct received by tradition from your fathers. It wasn't about religion, but with the precious blood of Christ as of a lamb without blemish and without spot. So our redemption allows us to have authority on the earth. That's why Jesus, the Word, amen, became a man. Because it was in this realm that God had delegated and given authority to mankind, where man had failed. Christ had to become a man, just like you and I, to bring redemption. And then ascend into heaven and represent us as the God-man now, in a glorified body. So there's been a coming together of heaven and earth, and it's in Christ. And so in the Spirit, we have been authorized by God to pray and call in the kingdom into this world. Oh. Faith in that truth. Are you hearing it? Faith in that reality is what we need. To accept that, what God has already accomplished, what He's already said, and refuse to believe anything else that doesn't line up with the Word of God.
Right. Amen.
I am a new creation. Are you?
Yes.
Are you more than a conqueror today?
Yes.
Well, that's who we are. Why do we live below what God has called us to? Well, I'll tell you, often it's because we do not abide in Him. Mm-hmm. We do not take advantage of the gift of prayer, the ability, the privilege of prayer. And therefore, if we're not drinking, amen, from Him, eating of Him in the sense that we are receiving His life, then we really don't have anything to give, do we? There's not going to be any union of heaven and earth except through an individual like you and I who submits and yields himself to the authority of God the Father. Jesus said, as the Father has sent me, just like He sent me, the same way I came, the same thing I demonstrated for you, now I'm sending you. And in the Great Commission, what did He say? He said, teach them to observe all things I taught you, disciples. Who's He talking about? You and I today. Wow. May God unveil our eyes to realize who we are as new creations. Amen. How many realize that when you come to Jesus, He doesn't say, I don't want you, I want you, I don't want you. If you come to Him and with a heart of repentance, God accepts you. God has accepted you. What we need to do is believe that God has accepted me. To live according to that new identity and refuse to follow the other. To refuse condemnation because my peace is in God. Through the blood of His cross, He has made peace. Right standing with Him. If you've been redeemed, three things. Number one, I want you to hear this. Satan has no authority over you. Two, sin has no authority over you. And I'm not saying you don't live a sinless life. I'm saying that sin has no authority over you. We're going to talk about that a little bit. Number three, you have authority through Jesus' name and the Word of God. As a child of God that's been purchased, brought back into relationship through the blood of Christ. Satan has no authority over you. Sin has no authority over you. And you and I have authority in Jesus' name and by the Word of God. Colossians 1:13 says, He has delivered us from the power of darkness. Who? God. And conveyed us or transferred us into the kingdom of the Son of His love. 1 Peter 2:9. But you are a chosen generation, a royal priesthood, a holy nation, His own special people, that you, say me, you may proclaim the praises of Him who called you out of darkness into His marvelous light. Who were once not a people, but are now the people of God. Who had not obtained mercy, but now have obtained mercy. In truth, in Christ, we have authority over Satan. So don't tell me, right, that the devil made me do it. I couldn't help it. Jesus purchased our redemption. We have been bought. We're His possession. We're His property. Huh? Do you think that the Lord's just going to release you and let the devil eat you up like a lion? Now, that'll happen, however, if we disconnect, won't it? If we don't pray. He said, pray lest you enter into temptation. The spirit is willing, the flesh is weak. How about sin? The sin nature has no authority over us. Romans 6:14, for sin shall not have dominion over you. For you are not under law, but under grace. So, we can't say, once again, I couldn't help myself. Why? Christ has delivered us from the dominion and power of sin. Unfortunately, not all believers appropriate this truth. It's a matter of you and I agreeing with God. It's a matter of you and I agreeing what is written, with what is written. It's a matter of you and I saying, that's the new identity. I'm going to live according to that identity. It's about you and I saying, God, I'm going to cooperate with you in this. Because God won't violate your will. If you want to live like the devil, you'll reap the devil's reward. But if you want to live for Christ, you'll reap your everlasting life. Amen? In the sense that God has got an inheritance for you. An eternal inheritance. How many want that? How many are sick of the world anyways? That's the best place to be. When you get, you know, I heard someone say, I've said this before, but you're not ready for Jesus until you're through with the world. You're not ready for Jesus until you're through with sin. Whatever happened to repentance? Repentance says that I was living like this, but I'm not anymore. I fear God. God has appointed a day in which He shall judge the world in righteousness by that man which He has ordained. And He has given assurance of this because He has raised him from the dead. There's coming a day when every knee shall bow to Christ, every tongue will confess. I'm not going to live according to my old nature. I'm going to live in the new nature. I'm going to receive the new identity, and I'm going to refuse to believe any other lie that the devil tries to throw on you, because he's going to throw on you all kinds of stuff. Condemnation and fear and doubt and guilt and shame. And you say, no, thank you, devil. I'm a new creation in Christ Jesus. Old things have passed away. Behold, all things have become new. 2 Corinthians 5:17. We have authority through Jesus' name, thirdly. Back to number two, sin has no authority over you. I want you to just want to make one more point about that. Why doesn't sin have authority over us anymore? Because Jesus has overcome the world. And when Christ comes to dwell in your hearts, our hearts, amen, then He also gives you what? An overcoming ability that comes with. The overcomer is on the inside of you. Greater is He that's in you than he that's in the world. So sin shall not dominate you. It shall not be your master anymore. We have a new master, Christ Jesus. We have a new Lord. He is now my master. I'm not going to bow down to the sin nature because I don't have to. So it shall not have dominion over you. And folks, I hope I'm not getting too long, but I always do. Jesus.
That's right, Steve. You like it.
Still love me?
Yeah.
Okay. Folks, I want you to hear something this morning. Quit calling yourself a sinner. Do we sin? Yes, we make mistakes. We stumble. We don't willfully do it, but if we do, we have an advocate with the Father. We have the Lord to call on, say, Jesus, I'm sorry, I messed up. Please forgive me. And He does. But you're not a sinner in that you are now controlled by the sin nature. When you are in Christ, you're a new creation. So it's a matter of you're a new identity. Who you're going to obey. What master you're going to bow to. I don't know about you, but I like living with a clean heart. I like having a conscience that is clear. I lay my head down on the pillow at night and I sleep well. Yeah. Amen. And when the devil tries to throw some junk on me, I just remind him of what God said. Just like Jesus did in the wilderness. And he says, well, I can't mess with him. He's got the light. He's got the word. The truth will set you free. Tonight I'm going to talk about some hindrances to faith. Hindrances to prayer, should I say. Hindrances. How many want your prayers always answered? Well, folks, friendship with God is what it's called. There's a difference between a servant and a friend. An employee and a friend. Would you agree?
Yes.
Friendship with God is important. And folks, I want to say this, even as a believer. Even as a believer. There's a distinction, I believe. Between someone who may be in the door and someone who is actually a friend of God. I remember in some youth meetings years ago where they used to sing that song, I am a friend of God. You know, I love that song because I believe that's true. But folks, not everybody is living as a friend of God. And there's a lot of people who sing that song who are living as an enemy to the cross. And we're going to talk about it a little bit tonight. And I want you to be here because you never know what's going to happen. God is showing up. And there's Wednesday night, we got too happy in here. It got out of order, maybe. I'm kidding. Actually, it was completely in order. The Holy Spirit was doing it. And that's what we want. Amen. Sometimes we got to get out of the way so the Holy Spirit can move. Because it's about a relationship. It's not about religion. Lord, we thank you for this moment in time. This is a good day because you made it for us. And we thank you that you have redeemed us by your blood. And Father, I pray if there's someone here today that just needs to recommit, Lord, their life to you, that today they will make that decision. That, Lord, they want to make the most of the opportunities they've been afforded in this life to live for you, God, and to have their treasure in heaven. Father, I'm praying if there's one who's lost today, that, Lord, you will save, that you'll redeem that one. You will bring him in, Lord, to the family, that you will forgive sin. You'll give them a shower on the inside and give them a brand new beginning. I want to ask everyone just to bow your head and close your eyes. And please, no one looking around. No one. And you're here today, my friend, and you're saying, I hear you, Lord. I hear what you're saying to me. There's something burning in your heart. It's just God is drawing you to a full surrender of your life today. Folks, do not let that opportunity go by. Don't disregard the Spirit of God when He's speaking to you. Because when the Holy Spirit is dealing with us, it's because He's going to give you the grace that you need to be set free. Some of you are dealing with shame and guilt and condemnation. God wants you to be free from that, to refuse to listen to that lie anymore. Come to Jesus. If you're here today, and if you were to die today, and you're not sure you would be in heaven, that you would be able to stand the judgment, I want to pray for you. And I want to invite you to respond to the Spirit of God today and say, Lord, I want to make sure my heart is right with you. I want to know that my heart is right with you. I want to know that I have peace with God. I want to have peace with my Maker. If you're not sure today of where you stand, that if you were to die, that you would be with Jesus, I want to pray for you. I'm going to ask you to do a bold thing and just lift your hand up right now. Just let me know. I'm going to pray for you. See that hand and that hand there too. Bashido Kobo Sancha. Okay. Now I'm also going to say this. If you're here today and you're not where you need to be in your heart with God and your walk with God, but you want to be there, raise your hand too. God bless you. Now I want you to do something, and this is between you and God. Jesus said that if you confess me before men, I'll confess you before my Father. If you deny me before men, I will also deny you before my Father and the holy angels. Friend, I want to ask you to do something really bold this morning. I'm asking you, if you had your hand raised this morning, just to step up and stand up right now. Stand up for Jesus. And let people know that you're not ashamed of the gospel. You're not ashamed of Jesus. God bless you. God, the Holy Spirit is bearing witness right now of your stand. You stood up for Jesus. Jesus said, if you confess me before men, I'll confess you before my Father. I just want you to lift your hands. I want the rest of you to pray. If there's somebody else, now's your time to stand up right now. If God's speaking to your heart this morning, I want you to lift up your hands and surrender to Jesus today. I want you to say in your own words, but from your own heart, say, Jesus, I come to you, a sinner. I realize I cannot save myself. I depend only on your mercy. I believe you died on the cross for my sins, that you rose again on the third day, and that you are alive forevermore. Jesus, come into my heart and save my soul. Transform me. Make me a new creation. Lord, I surrender my life to you. I pray your kingdom come and your will be done in my life, in the days ahead. Say, Holy Spirit, I invite you. Come into my heart. Come into my heart, Lord Jesus. I receive you as my Savior and Lord. Fill me with your power. Thank you. And now I confess with my mouth what I believe in my heart, that God has raised you from the dead. And I want you to say it right out loud. Jesus, I confess you are now the Lord of my life. I choose you. Thank you for receiving me. I'm yours. Amen. Now, if you love him, give him a hand clap and a praise in this house. Hallelujah.